Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
You are now tuned into anything potable, the most honorable, the most audible. Hold the applause, like Paul Pierce when he was fresh out the hospital, like Antoine when he shimmied after shots went through. So tell me why you mad even, your team gonna be sad leaving after matching up with Brad Stevens. Each season, champion contenders, we drop twice a week like you trying to guard Kemba. Your team whack and your players whacker, I got the inside scoop after hanging up with Jay and Packer. Okay, we about chips here, I'm talking about this year, banner 12 plus 6 here.
Fast PP.
Top rookie, I'm seeing it now, ain't playing around with Tatum.
Fournier.
Brown. We off the charts, but you gotta play it Marcus Smart. Close out, cause he pulling up from Harvey Yard. Gang green, it's no other way. So tune in to the pod if you plan on staying up to date. You heard? Aziz. AJ, I see you, man.
She.
Welcome to Anything Is Possible, the Boston Celtics podcast here on the Athletic Podcast Network. I am your host, Sam Jam Packard, professional sports fan, and I am joined, as always, by the kid, the god, the legend himself, Celtics beat reporter from The Athletic, Jay King, ladies and gentlemen. And we are coming to you on a Tuesday evening, and we don't have great news because the Celtics just announced earlier today that Jaylen Brown was diagnosed with a torn ligament in his left wrist and is going to have surgery and will be out for the remainder of the season. And it's going to be a whole lot harder for this team to make some noise in the playoffs without Jaylen Brown on the team. They have not been good this year when they're missing any one of their players. And Jaylen Brown's objectively their second best player. Just a tough break in what's been a very tough season for the Celtics so far.
Yeah, I mean, what else could happen to these guys? Honestly, they've had brain fog. They've had COVID cases. They've had injury after injury.
Turf toe? How do you get turf toe playing basketball?
Turf toe? Well, it's just a sprained toe. It's just a word for this, a sprained toe. It's not really anything to do with turf.
I should call it floor toe then.
But just another tough hit, the toughest hit yet. And at a time, I mean, if it had come two games earlier, I feel like it would have been felt like a devastating blow to the Celtics. But after the way they played in Chicago, after the way they played against Miami, maybe the Celtics knew by then that Jaylen was going to be out.
Both games without Jaylen Brown playing there. He did not make the road trip to Orlando or Chicago.
Yeah, and it was – but after those two games, it just felt like no matter what, the Celtics just weren't going to have it this year, weren't going to have it in the playoffs. They appear headed for either a 6th, 7th, or 8th seed or a play-in tournament exit anyway. So they're going to draw the 76ers, Nets, or Bucks in the first round and be a significant underdog. Now without Jaylen Brown, like, what are you going to do with Ben Simmons? What are you going to do with Tobias Harris or Kevin Durant and James Harden? Or you know, if it's Milwaukee, Chris Middleton and Giannis, it's just an enormous, enormous loss. Evan Fournier will step into the starting lineup. Aaron Nesmith will play more minutes. Kemba Walker will get more touches. But the Celtics cannot replace Jalen's shooting, versatility, slashing, the entire package that he brings. This is it. This is the end. The season is essentially over. They just are playing it out now.
You have no hope in playoff Nesmith?
Where's your vibe check now?
I mean, it's basically over now. I still want them to make some noise and go out fighting, but it's like the sliver of hope I had of them like making the Eastern Conference Finals and then like who knows what happens in a 7-game series. That feels like pretty outrageous. They're still a very talented team, but they just haven't been very good this year when they're missing one of their core four players, which has been an issue because their core four have not really played at all together. Grandy tweeted this out, 292 minutes that those four guys were on the court together, which is, in terms of minutes, ranks 137th in the NBA. So there are 136 more combinations who had some continuity. And the Celtics, we saw them very much struggle when they did not have their best talent on the court. That core four, and you add Robert Williams to it, I think the team was 8-1 or this year, or 7-1. They have a very talented team that's played well in stretches when they're all on the floor together, but that just never happened. And now it's guaranteed not to happen heading into the playoffs. My big hope for the playoffs was this: the top seven have never played a game together. And so who knows what's going to happen. They're still not going to have played a game together.
The expected playoff rotation will not play a single minute together all season.
Also means they'll never lose a playoff series. So I think we can hang our hats on that and give us some hope going into next year. But it's just like, this is what would you expect to happen in this Celtics season where it's just they've had 183 games missed from their players this year, whether it's COVID, injuries, Kemba starting the year off with his knee just – I don't know. This is kind of a snake bit Celtics. The real question is, are they cursed from their treatment of Isaiah Thomas a couple of years ago?
I think I saw Kungu tweet this. They've made the Eastern Conference Finals twice.
But did not win it.
That's it. But they also drafted.
They also Jason had Gordon Tatum. Hayward. They had some Gordon Hayward injury in those playoffs. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. I don't think it's curses. I don't believe in curses, but it's just it's been a shit year for them is the general point I was trying to make.
Yeah, but we should also, while we're doing this podcast, take a while to just praise Jaylen Brown for the season that he put in. It was a really tough situation for all these guys. They were playing, he and Tatum especially, they were playing a lot of minutes. They were playing through injuries, in Tatum's case, playing through COVID. Jalen had knee issues pretty persistently. He sprained his ankle recently. He played with this wrist issue for several games at least, and played really well and helped carry the Celtics through all of it. So when you look at the load that he and Tatum carried, and the load they had to carry after a very short offseason when they didn't think the offseason was going to be that short, after a long playoff run, there was just a lot of stress on their bodies. And he put in the first All-Star season of his career. He took a leap in several categories as a playmaker, as a shot maker, as a three-point shooter, the three-point shooting versatility. Just really, really expanded his game in a lot of ways that should help shape the Celtics franchise in the future. In what was really a lost season in a lot of ways, his development was one of the reasons why one of the things the Celtics will take moving forward with them and be very happy about moving forward.
He made such a big leap as a volume scorer. The amount of times he scored over 30 points, I think he had over 10 or 12 30-point games, which is just not something I necessarily expected from Jaylen Brown. I knew he was a very good athlete, good defensive player, and was a decent shooter, but he just became so much more dominant
Both shooting from three, his three-point volume goes up, but I think he was the key to the start of the year was him making a lot of two-point shots. He's just much more he improved a lot at creating his own shot. He's still improved as a playmaker. The ball was in him and Jason Tatum's hands a lot more this year, and I think they both reacted quite well to it. And so, yeah, I think you have to feel good about Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum moving forward. The question is, this is the same, I think, injury that Romeo Langford had. Luckily for the Celtics and for Jaylen Brown, it's not on his shooting hand. And so despite his sweet lefty finishes this year, it's not going to be hopefully not derail him for a lot of time, but he will be out 3 to 6 months. And now I guess it's time for the Celtics to just, I mean, the play, it's not like I expect them to show up and just like get swept. They still have a lot of talented players. And I think it's like an important opportunity for players like Nesmith or even just to play with Fournier to show some fight to like, they need to re-sign him in the offseason. So I don't think that expect the Celtics to completely lay down. I would hope they do that for the next four regular season games because they just need to rest up. But they're still a competitive team. It's going to be a series win's going to be difficult.
Maybe even impossible.
Anything is potable.
Yeah, I thought you were gonna scream it. I was waiting for you to scream it, and then you couldn't even muster the scream.
No, I wanted to scream it, but I'm not used to doing it mid episode, so I was a little scared there. But what do you think happens? Like, they still have to play games. I think they have to sit Rob Williams for the rest of the regular season.
There's no reason to play him with turf toe.
There's no reason to play Tatum or Kemba on either of the back to backs.
They should absolutely sit Tatum and Kemba for at least two games apiece. They should accept their fate in the play-in game and try to win one out of two of those games and get into the playoffs.
I would try to win the first one because I'm not trying to lose the second.
Although Philly, I still think Philly is a better matchup than either Brooklyn or Milwaukee, especially now that Jaylen's out. Like, what the hell are you going to do with James Harden and Kevin Durant?
You're gonna beat them. You're gonna march into Brooklyn and you're gonna take it in six. they do get to play. Spoiler: they do get to put the fear in God of one of these teams. Hopefully, it's gonna be interesting to see how they react because I feel like some teams could take this information and be like, "It's us against the world, and we're gonna play our asses off." Or I think there are some teams like I don't know the Celtics of 2 years ago where they kind of knew everything was they weren't going to have it this year and they kind of folded against the Milwaukee. They did beat the Pacers in round one, but I think it's going to be interesting to see how the Celtics react to this, especially in the playoffs. I agree with you completely about the rest. Why not? You're going to be in the play-in tournament. Just accept it and be as healthy as you can. I would assume Fournier is just slotted into the starting lineup, but I think most excited for 30 to 35 minutes of playoff Nesmith. This guy's going to go banana land. This guy is going to make plays left and right. The energy will not stop.
It's playoff Nesmith time. It's going to be Nesmith hour. Nesmith o'clock.
And you say they're going to lose a playoff series when he's getting 30 minutes a game? You've seen this guy. He's a game changer.
How many times do you think he would foul James Harden in a playoff series if they play the Nets?
Oh, a bunch.
Would he foul out every game? And if they play the 76ers, will Robert Williams foul out every game?
Well, that was going to be a problem whether Jaylen Brown was there or not. But
yes, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, if Joel Embiid's engaged, then he's absolutely decimated the Celtics in every single matchup this year. So I don't know what you hope for. You hope to catch the Nets and they're still not have chemistry coming back and James Harden.
You hope for it all to end. You hope for a vacation.
No, you hope to play else spoiler. To get injured. Of course, you want no one else injured, and you want to just, I don't know, what if Jason Tatum just scores 65 in a game? You could steal some games. You just want to put a scare to these top-tier teams in the Eastern Conference, you know? No one wants to play Boston in the first round, not with a pissed-off Jason Tatum, but it's going to be interesting. This Miami game coming up was the one to save their season, but that was after they lost the last two games to save their season. Even without the Jaylen Brown injury, things were not necessarily trending in the right direction. Although Jaylen did miss the last two games which they lost. But if that's any indication, they're not going to be great without him in the playoffs.
They've given up, 79 first half points to the Heat.
They did. I was
in,
there.
In a game that was as close to a playoff game as you can get.
They just
Trevor
didn't.
Ariza.
17, was, 15 points in the second quarter or 17?
He was demoralizing Kemba Walker in the post. Where did that come from?
Well, they pretty much all – the Heat just targeted Kemba Walker in the post a bunch. And then anytime they sent a double, Duncan Robinson knocked down a three. And then Trevor Ariza knocked down a three. I don't know. It's just Heat culture strikes again. He's just moving late in the season. But, yeah. But
also, the Celtics defense has fallen all the way to 18th on the regular season. There was like a 15-game stretch where they were okay defensively. They were pretty good defensively. They were one of the best teams in the league defensively. Before that and after that, it's just been disgusting. And so
defensive turnovers, that's just been the like the problem the entire year.
Yeah.
Two pretty big issues.
And two issues that have never hurt Brad Stevens' teams before. And I think as you look back on this season, like in a lot of ways, it was just a really difficult season for the Celtics. I mean, you look at they had more absences due to COVID than anybody. They had Kemba Walker in and out of the lineup, missing back-to-backs in a season that was full of back-to-backs because it was a condensed schedule. They had Marcus Smart miss more than a month and then come back and wasn't the same because he tore his calf and wasn't in top shape. They had like no depth at all early on. They get Fournier. He plays two great games and then has to miss 3 weeks with COVID. He comes back with brain fog. And I do think there was such a burden on Tatum and Brown. And I think in some ways they took an unfair amount of criticism for problems on the team that had nothing to do with them. I think in a lot of ways, both of those guys actually showed growth this season. I think at times, especially later in the season, you could see like the burden was catching up to them, whether it was because they didn't have much of an offseason, whether it was because they both played Team USA, then had like a never-ending season in the that ended with the bubble, and then, you know, barely had any offseason, came right into this season. Like, they've played a ton of basketball. They've played a ton of games. There was a lot of mileage on their bodies. And they led the team in games played, I think. And they were like, Jalen played through a lot this year. Like, he was hurt most of the season with nagging injuries and still played a lot of minutes, still carried a heavy burden. And like I said, it felt like those guys showed it at times and they weren't always in peak form. But I think it's a lot more understandable than a lot of people have let on. Like, it's easy to bash them and say they didn't perform up to expectations and they didn't carry the team and they didn't lead them the way they were meant to be led. But it's like they were going through a lot of shit, and then the roster around them stunk for a while. The roster around them
wasn't even organized
guys that were
correctly
in and out. Yeah, so. Those guys are keepers. Those guys are gamers. And you can build around those guys. And I think the Celtics should be very, very happy about those two guys. And then they'll need to tweak the rest of the roster moving forward. And I think Nesmith could end up being a big part of that. I think their hope is Fournier will be a big part of that. But I think they need to get bigger on the wing. They need to get like a real power forward size type four who can shoot a little. And that those guys aren't easy to find, but they need someone like with side. Like, they need to get a little bigger. They need to get a little longer and a little more mature, especially on the bench. Like, they have – how many guys do they have this year that are borderline NBA players or like, don't really deserve a chance at minutes?
Shemi Ojeleye, your guy, like Jabari Parker.
There's a list of them, you know.
It's, yeah. I think it's like interesting. I absolutely agree that the Celtics should feel like they're in pretty good position at moving forward. I know the cap people are concerned about re-signing Fournier and the long-term thing, but at the end of the day, they still have Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And I talked about this a little bit with the one and only the Riffs man. He came on to promote the People's Tommy Point Charity Drive for 18, which is a telethon he's doing on Thursday to support Marcus Smart's charity. But we ended up talking like 15 minutes after the Jaylen Brown news came out. And just talking about this Celtics season, there's such like a rush to blame like someone because they've been disappointing or because they haven't won so much. But like you went through all of the things that like this team has gone through. The 183 games missed, the COVID, the timing of sequencing of everything where like they had three bigs playing. They had a two big lineup for the first half of the season and they had three bigs who were playing a lot of the minutes. Their roster didn't really make sense to start. And then ever since the trade, nothing was like really came together. There's so many things that are like in there. It's like, yeah, that is a very good explanation for why the Celtics have not been as good. There's like, I don't get the extent or need to be like, and then it's someone else's fault. It's like, no.
They lost Gordon Hayward, replaced him with basically just a guy who was their third best center before they moved Daniel Tice, and Jeff Teague, who was a big minus. And that's it. And then they got hurt. Everyone around Tatum and Brown was hurt for most of this. Like, there was always somebody hurt. And I think, like, there's a rush to bash players, I feel like.
There's a rush to bash in general. Like, if it's not the players, it's Brad Stevens' fault, who has had no practice time, or it's Danny Ainge's fault, which you can make the move, like, argue the moves weren't great.
I think more of it was on Ainge's roster construction. His top
seven guys have not played a game together.
A mix of roster construction and bad luck. The roster was much better after the trade deadline. Like they were more talented, but I think giving Tice up for nothing came back to hurt them.
Yeah, that's a big decision that we didn't really talk about that much at the time. We did a whole episode praising Tice, but that was just purely a money-saving move. And given the health of Robert Williams at this point, it sure would have been nice to have a competent center down the stretch rather than kind of experimenting with Taco minutes or Luke Kornet minutes.
Yeah, and it's easy to say, yeah, but they needed to shed money. I think it goes to a lack of planning before that. Like if you looked ahead and thought Evan Fournier might be the guy you target with your trade exception, then you should not have signed Tristan Thompson for the full mid-level exception. You should have gotten some other center help, or you should have figured out a way so that you could keep Daniel Tice, or figured out another way to get under the luxury tax. And I just felt like giving a salary dumping a legitimate rotation center, a solid starting center, just wasn't the move, especially knowing that Robert Williams is an injury.
Also, if you like had enough risk. Belief to like, we're going to go with the two center lineup, you had those two centers on the roster already. Like what the signing of Tristan Thompson doesn't make the most sense. Just from like how they entered the year, I would assume that they thought it was going to go better and that maybe like their injuries wouldn't be as bad. But still, like if you believe in Robert Williams and eventually think he's going to play like 25 minutes a game, why? And you know Daniel Tice is just a solid player. Why bring in Thompson at the time? I think that's a fair criticism of Ainge, but it's like that happened last summer. And there's so many if we're just talking about the players and their performances or Brad Stevens and his performance, I think a lot of it still, they played with the cards that were dealt to them and they were pretty shitty cards just in terms of lineups. Like people want to get on Brad because of all the losing, because they don't want to blame the players because they generally like the players, but they had no practice time. Like there's no consistent role. I feel like it's harder to teach and scheme defense and offense when it's just they're like all the parts are constantly moving and you have no like actual practice time to implement anything.
Yeah, and at the same time, I do feel like there were real criticisms that Brown and Tatum deserved at times. Like I thought there were times like Tatum no-showed in that game against Chicago. It felt like he wasn't there. And in a huge game, it felt like he wasn't there. And so I do feel like there were some valid criticisms that could be leveled at those guys. But I just think this season especially, you need to do it with context, because the mileage on those guys and every player around the league, if you listen to all the comments from guys around the league, they're all saying how difficult this season has been. They're all saying how stressful it has been on their bodies, on them mentally. And so I do think there's some context necessary. And I do think that Brown's development should be, you know, respected. And he really, in a lot of ways, took a leap, and he and Tatum could help change the franchise. Now they have a lot of decisions around those guys, but I'm pretty confident in saying that those two guys are part of the solution to what hurt the Celtics this season.
The one sneaky thing about this is that if there's anything the sports optimist loves, it's a pivot to next year. It's moving the goalposts. No longer will I be evaluated on what happens with the Celtics this year, because whatever happens is gravy. Anything above, any win in the playoffs is like, yeah, they fought. It's great. Now the goalposts are next year, and I can just start the optimism train running for the top seven in this team have never lost a playoff series. They've never even played a game together. But you're right. It's the hope has shifted. The goalposts have been moved, and we're now getting excited for that 21-22 season, where hopefully Jaylen Brown will come back fully recovered, and no Celtic plays in any Olympic games, and they actually get an offseason to rest. Evan Fournier can't even play for France. We just need a fully healthy team heading into next season.
That seems to be their goal. The timing of the Jaylen, I'm so fried right now. I'm not sure whether we talked about this on this podcast yet.
No, we didn't.
We recorded a news podcast before. So, yeah, the timing of the Jaylen, of shutting him down, suggests that at some point the decision was made to focus more on next season than this season. And I haven't heard
this.
Well,
we don't know when the, torn ligament was discovered, but he seemed like he heard it in that Thunder game, at least. Forsberg pulled up a clip of him possibly hurting in as far back as the Lakers game. And so you think if you tear a ligament in the Thunder game, it would still show up on all the scans. And then, so your theory is that they decided after the Heat loss to just go.
No, it's not a theory. I haven't heard it from anyone with the Celtics. It's just the timing of it would line up with a team that looked at the landscape, saw they were going to be in 6th, 7th, 8th, or out of the playoffs entirely, and thought, you know what, this is going to be a long-ish recovery. Let's get Jaylen Brown back for the start of next season and prepare. The timing would line up for that. Whether that's the case or not, the timing would line up for that. Obviously, Jaylen tried to play through it for a while. He was hurting for at least several games, and sometimes hurting pretty badly, and still playing well and still playing a lot of minutes and still handling a huge load. But, you know, with Romeo Langford last season, he had, I think it was the same injury, but on his shooting hand, the Celtics, they were going to have him play during the postseason even, if I recall correctly. Like, there were a number of games that he played or was at least available to play after getting the injury until they decided to put him on the shelf. And so, you know, maybe Jaylen could have played through it, but the team decided, you know what, it's no longer worth it. Let's try to get him fully healthy for next season. Let's get this surgery out of the way. And I'm not sure whether that's the case, but the timing would line up and it would make sense. And I wouldn't blame the Celtics one bit for deciding that, because they're not on the level of the top teams in the East. Nobody should be under any illusion that they're on the same level as the top teams in the East. And so move on, man. Move on, get Jaylen right, and lace up the sneakers again next season and try it all again with some tweaks to the roster.
Yes, and I'm sure we'll talk about those tweaks all summer. I I don't know whether to do this. This is all reckless speculation, but I'm saying this with that major caveat. On Saturday, I hung out with my girlfriend, and she said, does Jaylen Brown have a hurt left wrist? Because she reported seeing someone who looked like Jaylen Brown pumping gas with a bandage on his left hand. But she wasn't 100% sure it was Jaylen Brown.
Yo, you could have broken the news, bro.
She could have broken the news. She asked me, it was like, does Jaylen have a hurt left wrist? And I said, it kind of sounded right, but I knew he was just out for the right ankle sprain. And so I was like, no, no, he doesn't. That's not him. But she's like 90% sure it was Jaylen Brown. So I really missed a scoop on that one. Did not follow up with any of my sources. And so, you know what? You snooze, you lose in this industry. I should have texted you like a grainy picture.
Yeah, that, that would have been fantastic. Yeah, it probably was Jaylen. Just pumping gas with a bandage on his hand.
He has been hurt for like weeks, possibly a full month now. So wouldn't be too surprising, but that is reckless speculation. Could have had a scoop, but we did not. We'll see what happens for the rest of this year. Jay and I will be here to talk about it, especially the play-in game. We'll go. We'll absolutely have to go live after the whatever happens in the Celtics
play-in
game.
The Nick Friedman Invitational.
Yeah, or the Terry Rozier revenge game. That's actually something the Riftsman and I talked about again. We're going to, once we are done here, we'll play that conversation. It's a very similar conversation, just talking about the reaction to the Jaylen Brown news, but you get it from the Riftsman's cool, optimistic, funky perspective. Again, he came on to promote the People's Tommy Point charity drive for 18, which is going to be like a telethon that just goes to just raising money to support the Young Game Changer Foundation. He had a crazy guest. Are you ready for a Riftsman interview of Mike Gorman?
I am now. Now
you
I'm
should be
ready.
Also a Riftsman interview of Dino Raja.
That's electric.
He's got a bunch of surprise guests, some old Celtics players, some old people from Celtics media. Should be a good time. So check out. Just keep listening to this episode, and you'll hear me in his conversation reacting to Jaylen and also talking about the telethon. And thank you guys for listening. I don't know how to transition this because I don't know how to it's not the end of the episode.
So just tell the listeners they're going to listen to the Riftsman now. Listeners, you're going to listen to the Riftsman now.
So take seat and sit right back in. The Riftsman's coming up next.
Anything is potable except a good segue.
Damn it, I should have asked you, is a good segue potable? Anything is potable! And I am joined now by a very special guest, a person I've actually never spoken to before. I've wanted to talk to him for a long time because he is the patron saint of Weird Celtics Twitter and just an all-around good dude. Everyone should know him. He's one of the guys who started Weird Celtics Twitter, and he's just a person who knows what cool is. And unfortunately, we're joined on not the nicest of circumstances. Sad day. It was basically announced 15 minutes before we were recording that Jaylen Brown is going to have surgery in his left wrist after a – I forget the name of the exact surgery. But, yeah, it's just a shitty loss. He might be out 3 to 6 months. And not the best news to have on a Monday afternoon, Riftsman.
No, it's not the greatest. But we seem to – It's a difficult one. This season's been a difficult one in general. Not a lot of roster continuity whatsoever, and this is just an exclamation point on that. But I think usually a team with Marcus Smart responds to such a thing. So hopefully those guys will band together, and if they're going out, they're going to go out in a loud way. So
I hope that's the case, and I like deep down have my like hope that now with like some adversity, they'll react to it and play a little bit better. But we've just seen this year is like every time they've had a guy out, it's been just such a small margin for error. And so it's just a sad way to end. It's just been a kind of a trying season and just kind of a disappointing one in terms of just all the guys missing injuries, dealing with COVID, all the kind of just things that this team has had to go through this year. It's a shitty way to cap it off.
Jalen especially, he had taken such a leap. And I really do not like the way that he and Tatum's leadership has been portrayed, because Jalen especially, at the time he hurt his wrist, he had been favoring that wrist. When I watch him go to the basket and land, you could see him favor that wrist for almost like 4 or 5 weeks ahead of this announcement. And in one of those games was the one in the Oklahoma City game when he had 39 and 12, I believe, on the, like the day or 2 days after his mentee Terrence Clark had passed. And that was a game where no Tatum, the entire defense was loaded up on him. He was going through it, like literally all the way through it for 39. So like, I think if that isn't leadership, I don't know what is. I think they didn't throw anybody under the bus this year. I think they took like full on the responsibility of saying, hey, we're trying to figure this out and it hasn't been great, but we're not going to point fingers. And I thought he handled everything in a very dignified manner this season. So a huge kudos to him in the season he's had.
Yeah, he's been amazing, just not only on the court, but you're right, the way he's handled, he's always been like, we're not good enough. He's accepted where they've where they've come up short and things that they need to do better. I think it's just odd to criticize the leadership of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And it just comes with this weird expectations that I think all fans have, but people to have it to a certain degree, is just this like an expectation of a championship, or like that these guys must work like together. It's like every year there's only one winner. And sometimes like there's a litany of reasons why the Celtics have not come together and like been an amazing team, but I don't think it's like without the effort or of any of the guys. I don't think anyone's had a bad mood or not trying to make it good. It's just sometimes team dynamics don't work, and it's weird for everyone to kind of be, I guess this is just who we are, just like someone needs blame for this, which is, I think, an odd way to approach it. It's like, sometimes it just didn't work out. And so, but there is just a fan weird expectations. Like I, as a fan, expected a championship, and I'm going to blame someone else for it not being delivered to me.
Yeah, it's a difficult dynamic. I don't think nuance pays off in today's culture.
Oh God, no.
At all. But I think they wanted to play hard together. I think they wanted to do the right thing, but could they do it with their situation in terms of roster continuity? Timing is everything, like in basketball. Like if you're not setting that high screen for Tatum well, if it's at the wrong angle, it's gonna look really bad. And consequently, maybe that's gonna turn into a little less willingness to take risky passes out of that situation, or to be risky with your dribble around. Like, I mean, he's getting blitzed by the best defenders in the league now. So you see that start to happen because guys aren't a little bit sure of themselves in terms of, okay, I've been here for a week, how do we do this? Okay, I've been out for 3 months, what's the timing for this? And it just worked in a way, I think, that didn't lend itself to the best, most fluid basketball possible. And I think that's something that's been misinterpreted at large. And so how they handle it from here on out, and how they handle it this offseason, is going to be very interesting. They did not have an offseason, in my opinion, this past year.
Oh, no.
I don't think any of the bubble teams, Denver's the only one who is in the Final Four who made it through in kind of one piece, but Jamal Murray's not there. So like they lost him for a year. So we've seen this happen to the bubble teams, and it's a difficult situation, and how they respond going forward is really going to define a lot in terms of a lot of marquee franchises, especially the Celtics.
What are your, like, I guess, new expectations? I was already trying to talk myself, just pivot into winning the play-in game is an honor in itself, and that we're going to be make some noise against the Nets in round two. Now with this happening, I guess, what do you expect? Like, what's the best you think the Celtics can do? And then what is something like, how does the season still finish off as like with a good taste in your mouth, even if they don't necessarily reach the success you're looking for?
I mean, just give whoever you get hell. like whatever it is, you know, just don't go out quietly. Don't maim yourself in the process.
No more injuries.
Yes, let's avoid those. But I think, like, just to go out there and if it wasn't our year, then make whoever's year it is have a real hard time dealing with us for the last remaining bits of it. My expectations, I thought they could have gotten to the playoffs with a little luck with Robert and Jalen, and maybe Ben an Eastern Conference finalist, maybe Ben having a puncher's chance for it. I think that's, I wouldn't want to say it's like deteriorated, but I mean, it's less likely, obviously, because Jalen's like the number two guy and such a dynamic, fast scorer. He scores so fast that I think,
amazing, like, in transition.
And I think, like, the way he scores fast is in the half court too. I think he operates very quickly as opposed to some of the other guys on the team. So, like, in the first quarters when we've been struggling lately, that's usually when Jalen takes over. That's his spot where historically he's been a really good scorer for the Celtics. So now that's lacking, and you've got to really find on the fly a new team dynamic. How they do that, I don't know. I think it's Fournier who's going to have to step into that because he seems like the easiest scorer lately in terms of how he gets his shots and getting to the basket. I thought the last game was sensational on his end.
Yeah.
But I have no expectations now other than they're going to probably go out playing as hard as humanly possible. Because I feel like something's been taken from them at this point with this whole
season. And they're playing for pride at this point. Another thing it opens up is I think Fournier's been good in his shooting, certainly against the Heat in the past couple of games has been much improved. It's like good to see him just being a solid contributor that he was with the Magic the entire time and wasn't suffering from COVID. It's still, he still has COVID symptoms. It's still lights still hurt his eyes, which is still amazing to me that he's performing at the level he is currently.
I had it kind of famously among friends. I had it before the general public kind of knew what it was in January of that year. I just had my second dose of Moderna and am starting to feel like a normal human being kind of for the first time in a year and a half. It has not been easy. I lost 40 pounds. So it's been a weird transition to watch Fournier and to watch Tatum deal with it and to see kind of, I don't want to be too accusatory of anybody, but I think the media in general didn't cover this season. Maybe they couldn't, maybe they didn't know how, with the nuance of what kind of these things people were dealing with who had COVID and the expectations changing. I mean, we just found out a little while ago that Tatum is on a inhaler,
yeah,
which is kind of a jarring thing to find out about a professional athlete who was otherwise healthy before that. So I just hope that Fournier doesn't overdo it in this stretch too. And the same with Jason.
Well, especially in the next couple of games coming up, it feels like Rob's hurt still. He has turf toe. I don't know what, like, mathematically, if they beat the Heat, they can still hope for a Heat loss and hope to pick up a game and maybe get the sixth seed. But at this point, they would have to play a back-to-back and then another back-to-back. Is it just, you just rest your guys, right? You don't push anyone. You accept the seven seed because at this point, you just can't deal with any more players being hurt and hope to succeed. And then also just long-term effects of, I don't know, Jaylen Brown's going to be out maybe 6 months. You just don't want to overwork any of the guys at this time when, I don't know, it's, what's the difference between a six seed and a seven seed at this point?
I would go into it fully rested up, give them a week off, you know. Let Peyton and Nesmith get up some really good shots and get into a good rhythm. But I still think the idea of a playoff run has value, be it a short one or maybe a round or two. For Peyton and Nesmith, maybe Rob if he's healthy too, to go through that usually is the impetus for guys building on it in the off season.
Yeah, and I think that's why you try to be as healthy as possible and give whatever team you play, be it the Bucks or the Hornets in game one. Like the play-in tournament, if you just win the first game, you're in the playoffs. Like, it shouldn't be that difficult to beat the Hornets, although I could totally see Terry getting revenge because Terry's a boss.
Oh, the man. The absolute man.
one of the coolest dudes there is. The Gordon revenge would be a harder pill to swallow, but Terry balling out in the Garden would actually make me smile. I would laugh. That would be fantastic.
I was so mean to Gordon that he probably does deserve revenge specifically on me.
A lot of people were mean to Gordon, and so I wouldn't be – he doesn't seem like the revenge type. Terry would go in there looking to slit throats. But I think the Celtics can beat the Hornets. At this point, they just need to get healthy and, like, give their best. The thing that I'm interested in now with Jaylen out is I really like the energy that Nesmith brings. And so – and I think he's just he's shown to knock down a shot. At this point, I really don't know who is a better – defender, and I'm him or Fournier, and I'm leaning towards Nesmith just because of his crazy energy and length and just his hustle plays. But it feels like the Celtics this year have really struggled sometimes just to play great defense or have the energy. Basically, like what happened in the Heat game, just going down 20. I like the idea of just starting Nesmith as a wild card and just being like, look, man, we just need you to play your ass off for 30 minutes a night, and maybe he has an opportunity to do that. And it's an opportunity for these players to grow, even though I don't know, whatever championship expectations we had as fans is now significantly reduced. But I agree with you that the playoff run is still going to be important, and it's still going to be fun as long as they give them hell.
Yeah, man, I really am interested to see how Nesmith responds to this, because I think he's a starting caliber player. The last month or so, he's shooting among the top wings in three-point shooting. I think in this month, albeit a short one, he's 53%, or I think the last month or so, he's something close to 53% from three. He's absolutely figured out the defensive scramble and rotations that you want to see from a guy. He has size and strength and mobility that are rare, I think, among wings. I think he can be an incredible player. I didn't watch much of him in college, so I was just kind of like, let's see what happens with him. I know people had stronger reactions than that, generally speaking. But I was open to it and kind of knew it was just going to take time this year. But he's really responded, and I think this run for him is like the biggest thing in the world now that Jaylen's gone down. I think he can really make a solid statement that he's arrived in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, one of the things that's impressed me about him is his ability to like make plays heading towards the basket. He's I did not watch him, but it was like, oh, he shot 56% from three in college, and I just thought of him as a shooter. But I think there's a couple plays against the Heat where he is just went to the basket and found guys with nice passes. He's much more of a playmaker and a guy who attacks the basket. It has a lot of bounce, where I just think his potential and his energy. For face it, whatever reason, the Celtics have not had it this year has been lacking. I just think at least you always want one guy on the court just playing it like incredibly hard and just like that's just good for the team vibes.
I mean, he got the Marcus Smart stamp of approval. Like, if you get that officially on Twitter, you're doing the grindfather bit really hard. And I think he's just been he was. The shot in the arm that the team needed for a long time, and has been really the constant source of energy since Rob got hurt. Because I think Rob had stepped into that very well and became a great loose ball guy, a great ball finds energy type of guy. He was tracking down everything and making the right plays. And I think Nesmith stepped into that. I think just watching, he recognized what was lacking in his way to get through the door was that, and he's just incorporated it beautifully. But as he said, his intermediate game going to the basket is something I did not expect, and he covers more ground than I expect, both defensively and off the dribble, which is something you really want to see a long stride guy get into the hoop, because I think that makes it easier for them to be slashers long term and be really good. I mean, once his handle catches up to that, if he works on that, if that's like a point of emphasis, I think he can be a really great dual threat in that regard.
Yeah, and it's like kind of a perfect guy to put next to Tatum and Brown for the next couple of years. I think it's just going to be interesting to see how the kind of they build the roster around it. And you mentioned Robert Williams. It feels like he's very important, and I think probably the Celtics' third most important player at this point. Mm-hmm. It just feels like when he's playing 25 minutes, and the team just has a lot more flow offensively, and just he's just one, a very good passer, and you can kind of give him the ball at the high post. And I don't think they did that enough, but he's sees the court and makes the right play a lot of time. And his just vertical spacing completely changes the pressure the teams put on the rim and opens things up so much for everyone else on the court. I think we've been so used to kind of the three big lineup earlier in the year, and Tristan missing time and Robert Williams missing time, that like we just got used to kind of one big. But I think Robert Williams being in the, like when he started and was playing well, that's when the team was playing their best. And so I think just totally changes the entire team. And for them to like make that run in the playoffs, for them to kind of give a team a challenge, it's super important that he is healthy and getting significant minutes.
Yeah, I know he wanted to soldier through it, and they probably tried him for when he saw the specialist or whatever, they probably determined that you can't destroy it or anything further, but it's just going to hurt and they got a brace or whatever. But he does some things that are pretty irreplaceable that you wouldn't really consider. Like his screening to me is like the thing that opens everything up for Kemba Walker and Jason as 3-point shooters. He sets some of the widest, most reactive screens possible off of the DHO sets, and just makes quick decisions that nobody else really on the roster can make because he has such a vantage point at his size and length. So without him, it just feels like things are slower. It feels like things are easier to muck up and easier to get stuck in those high pick and rolls with different angles. I think his angles on it, on the screens he sets are really good and have improved a ton. And when he's not there, that's where we suffer significantly on the offensive end. I actually think most of his impact is on offense.
Yeah.
He just seems to make things communicate and flow better. So without him, depending on what his status is, it's going to be difficult. It hurts a lot if he can't play. And I also don't really want to see him risk it too much if it's that bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I like Turf Toe. I saw tweets that it could take a while, but then I was kind of shocked to see he was back trying it against the Heat. It doesn't feel like he should really force it in the rest of the regular season. But you mentioned his offense. It's like his screen setting is really important because it feels like he's the only like guy who sets screens that you have to kind of worry about after the screen. With Tristan Thompson in the game, it just makes it so much easier for opposing defenses to send two at the ball, whether it's Tatum or Kemba or any other of the ball handlers. Robert Williams is the only one who I feel like has consistently, they send two to the ball and you pass it to Rob when he catches it at the foul line, immediately fires to the opposite wing. Like that's a play that only really happens with Robert Williams in the game. And I think the Celtics struggle otherwise when there's a lot of ball pressure and they just don't really have a great big there at that fulcrum to kind of start the offense again with Tristan Thompson. Tristan Thompson he's not a playmaker. He doesn't really cut that hard to the hoop. It's just, he's a great offensive rebounder, but that's just not kind of part of his game. With Robert, it just feels like the whole floor is open and you really get passes and assists. And you just see how much of a difficult time and turnovers, I think, are up this year for the Celtics, like one of their worst turnover years. I think a lot of that has to do with just how much more pressure their ball handlers are getting without just kind of a competent big man in there.
Yeah, I think that's important to note. And also that with Kemba out, it became the wings as ball handlers. And like if Robert and Kemba were out, that means the high screen and roll is often Tatum and Thompson. And I think I think Tatum is a borderline MVP level player and a superstar. And I think Tristan is really good, but that situation for them this year, I think has been difficult in terms of timing and nailing it down perfectly. I think the more fluid pairing is often Robert and Kemba and Robert and Tatum in those situations. Yeah. So without having those guys available at different points, it's just become not the best groupings that you want to have, that you anticipated having going into the year. So I think offense, we get into the defense because it has its problems, and the offense has good numbers lately, or at least since the All-Star break, they one of the better offensive ratings or whatever. But I don't think the quality of offense is quite there, if that makes any sense. It feels like they score a lot of points because they have to score a lot of points to get back in the game. And sometimes that can be in a blowout. So I think they can, going into next year, if they get Robert healthy, they can tailor a lot more to his strengths as a passer, and everybody else can benefit from that.
That's another thing about this, just like crazy years and not having an offseason. I am a Brad apologist, but like it's different to game plan for a bunch of new different players. And then you're developing a game plan and you don't have like the same starting lineup for more than four games in a row, I think the stat was. And I think we've had 31 different starting lineups at this point. It is difficult, I just think, to try to have any sort of continuity and kind of scheme when the parts are constantly changing and no one's developing the kind of like expertise in their specific role. And so, I mean, I feel like I'm sounding like an apologist, and I guess I am. I'm giving them, it's just been a shitty year, and it's like tough for them to have the continuity that you would expect to kind of have the better performance. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just being a Brad apologist. I get accused of being a such on the interline.
Anecdotally, it feels like in the Stevens era, their teams usually are a practice and a prep team. Like they have their best games execution wise, obviously coming out of practice and extensive film work and stuff like that. So you take that away and it becomes young guys learning it on the fly. And maybe that isn't one of Stevens's strengths. Maybe the lesson of this season was what happens when you're less hands-on and when you have less control of a play-to-play type thing where guys know their sets and everybody's on the fly using their IQ.
Yeah.
And how that reflects on you on as a coach. Maybe that was the lesson for this season. I think that he can get better, but I don't think he's a bad coach in the way that it's portrayed, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, of course there are different things that can be done. And I think teams in the past have gotten better as the season has gone on, and felt like he kind of experimented a lot earlier in the year and then was basically trying to implement things. And then the teams would kind of, especially on defense, kind of really figure things out and get better as the season went on. With no practice time this year and the constantly changing of players, it just feels like there's not a lot of opportunity to make those corrections. And so it's just been a kind of a crap year altogether in terms of results. But again, I'm going to refrain and say these things happen in sports, and that's why sometimes crap years happen. And sometimes you need to do something good in the world, put some good energy out in the world.
Oh yeah.
That's why we initially had you on, is to talk about the People's Tommy Point Charity Drive for 18, which is a very cool event you have put together that will be broadcast on Thursday, May 13th is the date?
At 8 o'clock, yes.
8 o'clock. Can you tell the people about this amazing event that you have decided to put out into the world?
Man, it's cool. What my friend Rich Levine, who was in the media for a period, came to me, and I had expressed an interest in doing different opportunities based on like mutual aid or work in the community, because I've kind of taken a different turn with just my philosophy on life and just how I live in general. And he reached out to me and he said, man, I have all these media contacts and this season's been really kind of a drag. And there just has to be something that could get people like to come together for a good cause. And so we came up with the idea of, I had been doing something I called the Smart Stimulus, which every game I gave a little bit to the Young Game Changer Foundation. And that's Marcus's foundation. He does work with sick children in the hospitals in Boston and his hometown and stuff like that. So I had just started doing that, and Rich had noticed it, and he reached out. He said, what if we do a telethon style, online telethon for charity, where we reach out to some Celtics figures, present and past, do that, put a spotlight on the community online, some of the talented people in the community, and raise some money for a good cause. So on May 13th, Thursday, 8 p.m., we're going to be airing that live tomorrow from my account at @riffs_man. We're going to be putting up the PayPal group live link that's going to be going directly to the people at Young Game Changer who we're in contact with right now. We're going to be running that through Friday, I think, till 6:30 on Friday, and then it's all going to go directly towards them. Basically, we're going to try to inject some life into the situation online, into the community, hopefully send some goodwill to the players, especially Marcus, who I know wears these losses more than anybody. And I think it's going to be cool. I've already taught it. It's an interview series, too, sort of on the legacy of Tommy Heinsohn. And we're also going to talk to some people about Casey Jones, too. And and we've talked to some former players. We've talked to Mike Gorman. I talked to Dino Raja. He told me I looked like a member of AC/DC.
Talk to Dino. That's fantastic.
Yeah. We've got some more special ones coming. Like, we have one big one that for me is unbelievable that I'm doing tomorrow. And some of that's going to be a surprise. But tune in. 8 p.m. May 13th. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be, I mean, it's going to be everything you've known to expect from if you know me or if you know our community. There's going to be some music. There's going to be some artwork. There's going to be some comedy. It's just going to be a good time for a good cause and hopefully spread some goodwill. Because really, if you watch games online, which many of us are want to do with our time, it's been a tough go of it in not the easiest, and people have been at each other and people haven't had a fun time, and it's been really discouraging for me because I just want to see people have a good time all the time. That's like my life philosophy.
Yeah.
And
it's a great philosophy.
It's just been a tough year, and I think if we do something good in this, it isn't all for a waste, especially after what happened with Jalen's wrist.
Yeah. No, if you are following Weird Celtics Twitter, it's a good time with a bunch of very talented artists and people. And like, really, I took the dive into this when just the amazing memes and kind of just wild artistic stuff that was coming out. And I know Efren Ramos, he's producing for you. Just an amazing just artist in terms of the crazy and insane Photoshops he's done producing ATO Show. I just know he's like insanely talented. I know is High on Drums also joining you, doing some of the music stuff for the program?
Yeah, man. He put together something, and he and Efren have put together an experience, as I'll call it. That's just
that's what I'm looking for.
That's just fantastic. And it's going to be a lot of stuff you don't expect, and it's going to be a lot of fun. But it's also just going to be people hanging out and us talking to some former C's players and C's media on just like a human level and learning from them a bit about life in general. I mean that's just where I'm at, where my head's at right now, and the kind of thing I'm grooving on in life.
That sounds like it's going to be a great event, and I'm very much looking forward to it. And so where can the people watch it? Is there a link you'll tweet out?
I'll be tweeting it out from my account at @riffs_man. We're going to be simulcasting it. I believe it's going to be on Twitch. And the charity portion of it is going to be on PayPal group. That'll go up tomorrow. So again, check my account. We'll be linking up with Young Game Changer and Marcus's managers, and really just putting it together to really show out for the community.
That's awesome. And I'm very much looking forward to the event. If you guys can donate to Young Game Changer, that would be much appreciated. And just go watch, hang out, enjoy the weird people of Weird Celtics Twitter, and also these amazing conversations that the Riffsmans had with how is Mike Gorman? I mean, I think it's kind of wild for I see him sometimes at the when we used to go to games, but he's still like a legend, and I've never really had a long conversation with him. Was it just wild to kind of just sit down with a guy who's just been that much part of Celtics history?
I mean, it was daunting for me because I've been listening to him in Mike and Tommy since I was a kid, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was like this huge part of my life I got to interact with. And he was the most kind and gracious person possible. I would say the same about Dino. They were both incredible. Mike, it was like we got to talk about what were the difficulties of broadcasting this year. I got to find out who his favorite guitar player was.
Oh, wow.
same with Dino. But talking to Mike, it was like, this season has not just been trying for the players and the fans. It's been that way for the broadcast media as well. So I got a lot of insight from him. I got a great Tommy story from him. It was really fun to talk to him, and he couldn't have been kinder in the process of it.
That's awesome. I'm very much looking forward to hearing your conversation with him. Thank you so much for coming on Anything Is Potable, and everyone who's listening out there, go watch the People's Tommy Point charity drive for 18, and hopefully you can, if you can, make a donation to the Young Game Changer cause. But yeah, thanks so much, Riff, man.
Appreciate Thank you for having me. Hey, man, I'm real glad to come on. Thank you for your time.